All right, we're going to head into this lesson now. This being the sixth, during the first five lessons, we've looked at the acceptable year of the Lord and tried to show that it's that year after the resurrection of Jesus Christ, when the apostles, the 12 apostles of Israel, were preaching that the kingdom would Christ would come back with the kingdom if they would believe that he was the Christ, the Messiah, the Son of God, which doesn't sound too hard to do, but for them it was. It was prophesied as the acceptable year of the Lord. The Lord talked about it in Luke 4, 19 through about 22, he talked about the acceptable year of the Lord as being part of his earthly ministry, the last part. And it was the year for Israel to remain God's holy nation. They had an opportunity there to remain as God's holy nation, God's light unto the Gentiles. That acceptable year of the Lord, it ended. It ended at the end of chapter 7 of Acts, the book of Acts. You can read that grilling sermon of Stephen against the hierarchy of Israel, that they kept going away from God, kept whoring after other gods. And if you read the Old Testament, time after time, the Lord was merciful to them, brought them back. And then in the New Testament, they crucified the Son of God. And the Holy Spirit was speaking to the leadership of Israel through the mouth of Stephen in Acts chapter 7. And they stoned him. They spoke against the Holy Ghost. Cried out with a loud voice, it says. The nation of Israel was no longer a way to God. That was all prophesied, though. Look in Isaiah 28. We'll look at verses 10 through 18. Starting with verse 10. For precept must be upon precept. Precept upon precept. Line upon line. Line upon line. Here a little. There a little. In other words, that verse tells us that God revealed his doctrine a little at a time, progressively. And, you know, some of the things they didn't expect, but a little further along, it gets prophesied, and then they can expect it. Verse 11, for with stammering lips and another tongue will I speak unto this people. So that verse prophesies that God would use tongues to speak to disbelieving Israelites to cause them to believe or to encourage them to believe. But we know that, that for the most part that didn't help. They were still being obstinate. Verse 12. To whom he said, this is the rest wherewith you may cause the weary to rest. And this is the refreshing. Yet they would not hear. The rest wherewith ye, and that's talking about Israel, ye may cause the weary to rest. That would include statements of Jesus Christ when he was on earth, like Matthew 11:28. Come unto me, all you that labor and are heavy laden. And now, who's the you? Who's he talking to there? Come unto me, all ye. That would be all ye of those to whom Christ came. Christ came unto his own, to Israel. Come unto me, all you that labor and are heavy laden, and I will give you rest. Verse 29, take my yoke upon you. Learn of me, for I am meek and lowly in heart, and you shall find rest unto your souls. Who's the you there? That's believing Israel, those that believed his coming and heralding of the kingdom being at hand. Verse 12, to whom he said, this is the rest wherewith you may cause the weary to rest, and this is the refreshing. Yet they would not hear. There was no fault in the Word of God. It wasn't the Word of God's fault. The prophecies or the Bible or the Lord himself. Going on to verse 13. But the word of the Lord was unto them precept upon precept. Precept upon precept. Line upon line. In other words, just as he said he would do. He grew the body of doctrine for them. The teaching. The foretelling that the prophecy had in it. Line upon line. Here a little, there a little. That they might what? Well, what was the purpose of all that? That knowledge and that doctrine. The additional precepts upon precepts. And the additional lines upon lines. It was, verse 13, that they might go and fall backward and be broken and snared and taken. It was prophesied that Israel would, I mean, the Lord knew ahead of time. He's God. He can see down the the halls of history. He can look ahead and see. I believe that they might go, that phrase that the verse, in the middle of the verse there, I believe that's the choice that God gave to Israel, to crown the Son of Man or to crucify the Son of Man, the Son of God. Mostly because of the wording in a parallel prophecy in Isaiah 8, 14 and 15. Verse 14 in Isaiah 8 says, and he shall be for a sanctuary. Well, that was the positive choice for Israel. Positive part of it. What follows that in the verse was the negative choice for Israel, which they chose, actually. Let me read the whole thing again from the beginning. And he shall be for a sanctuary, but for a stone of stumbling, for a rock of offense, to both houses of Israel, for a gin and for a snare, to the inhabitants of Jerusalem. Verse 15, and many among them shall stumble and fall and be broken and snared and taken. Well, the sequence of the words is the same in both those parallel prophecies, except for the first word. So the difference in the first word in the series in Isaiah 8:15 helps to show what the word go means in the second half of the Isaiah 28:13 verse. In both verses, the first word is followed by the words fall, broken, snared, and taken. But the first words in the series that are parallel to that, to the words that they might go, are in other words, the first words in the series that parallel that they might go is many among them shall stumble. So their choice there to go one way or the other, to receive their Messiah or reject their Messiah, it's related to stumbling. It's foretelling that they would stumble. And they did stumble at the cross. They crucified the Lord Jesus. And they cried out, let his blood be on us and on our children. When did Israel stumble? Look at 1 Peter 2, verses 7 and 8. Unto you therefore which believe, he is precious, but unto them which be disobedient, the stone which the builders disallowed, the same is made the head of the corner, and a stone of stumbling, and a rock of offense, even to them which stumble at the word, being disobedient, whereunto also they were appointed. So, Peter calls Jesus a rock, rock of offense, and a stone of stumbling. Let's look in Romans 9, verse 31 through 33. But Israel, which followed after the law of righteousness, hath not attained to the law of righteousness. Wherefore? Because they sought it not by faith, but as it were by the works of the law, for they stumbled at that stumbling stone. Verse 33, as it is written, Behold, I lay in Sion a stumbling stone and rock of offense, and whosoever believeth on him shall not be ashamed. So Paul also calls Jesus a stumbling stone and a rock of offense. Israel stumbled when they demanded that their Messiah be crucified. The stumbling had to do with his crucifixion. Well, let's plug that understanding into Isaiah 28, verse 13. But the word of the Lord was unto them, precept upon precept, precept upon precept, line upon line, line upon line, here a little, and there a little, that they might go and fall backwards and be broken and snared and taken. In that verse, we want to find the fall and what came before the fall and what came after the fall that it talks about in that verse. Well, as we read the rest of there's nine verses, we'll see that the word fall in Isaiah 28:13 is the fall of Israel from being in line to receive the kingdom at that time. The kingdom is at hand was what they heralded, what they preached at that time. But when it was rejected, it went back to being like it was in the Old Testament in the prophecies, out there in the future somewhere. But believe on it. Believe the Messiah will come. And that's what they should be doing. They're still in rejection, though. They're still rejecting him. So, just before that fall of Israel, they had that choice to go toward crowning their Messiah as their king or to go toward crucifying their Messiah. Their choice was to stumble at that stumbling stone. And just after that fall of Israel, both parallel prophecies say that they were broken, snared, and then taken. It's likely that the last in the list, taken, refers to Isaiah 6. And that casting away curse of Isaiah 6 verses 9 through 13. And what what happened at the casting away? Removed men far away is some of the wording there. And great forsaking in the midst of the land? Well, you can see that has happened century after century since then. Which prophecies, those prophecies, some of them come after Israel's fall, most of them, and after their later blinding. They lost the ability to choose when they had chosen to reject their Messiah, and then, so often they had, and then it came time for the Lord to redeem them on the cross, and he froze them in their rejection. And we have a handle on the first word in the list, go, stumbling at the cross. That gives us a little anchor there, a little understanding of where it starts. We have a handle on the last word in the list, taken, centuries of the land being forsaken. And that leaves two words in the middle of the list, the two scriptural events that are left to be designated. The meaning of the third word, snared, gives it away. Writings in the period covered by the book of Acts tell that Israel allowed itself to be snared by its frequent whoring after other gods in place of the God of Abraham. Israel's frequent straying from God was capped by their blaspheming the Holy Ghost and by their speaking against the Holy Ghost at the end of chapter 7 in Acts. So let's look at how Paul describes Israel's being snared. He addresses it in Romans 11, chapter 8, and chapter 11, verse 8 and verse 9. According as it is written, God hath given them the spirit of slumber, eyes that they should not see, and ears that they should not hear, unto this day. Verse 9, and David saith, let their table be made a snare, a trap, a stumbling block, and a recompense unto them. Verse 10, let their eyes be darkened, that they may not see, and bow down their back alway. Well, in those three verses, we see five times that Israel had reached the point of no return in their going after other gods. When Israel reached the point of no return, God snared them so that he could have our Savior die for all the sins of all the people. And, of course, it wasn't announced that way. It was only announced all people by Paul. Before that, it was just for Israel. It was just known that he died for Israel's sins. Paul calls that snaring being cast away. And that's in Romans 11, verse 15. For if the casting away of them be the reconciling of the world, what shall the receiving of them be but life from the dead? In Acts 28, verses 26 and 27, Paul described what Isaiah 28:13 called snared. And you shall see and not perceive, and their eyes have they closed, lest they should see with their eyes. Two statements of blindness there. Look at the verse, and we'll read it. This is the 13th verse. But the word of the Lord was unto them precept unto precept upon precept, line upon line, here a little, there a little, that they might go and fall backward and be broken and snared and taken. And Acts 28, verse 26, saying, go unto the people and say, hearing you shall hear and shall not understand, and seeing you shall see and not perceive. Verse 27, for the heart of this people is waxed gross, and their ears are dull of hearing, and their eyes have they closed, lest they should see with their eyes, and hear with their ears, and understand with their heart, and should be converted, and I should heal them. That matches the thought of Paul in 1 Corinthians 2:8, which none of the princes of this world knew, for had they known it, they would not have crucified the Lord of glory. Not out of pity, but because the God of this world doesn't want us to have a Savior, a Redeemer, a Ransomer. Well, at first it seemed strange that God would want his only begotten Son to be assassinated. But it fits right in with the verses we just read, Romans 11, verses 8 through 10. That leaves the middle word in Isaiah 28:13 in that list, broken. We still need to identify broken. So it also leaves only one identified event in Israel's history. They're recorded in the book of Acts by Luke, the history. In that period, there's one event that's yet unidentified. And in those verses following the Romans 11, verses 8 to 10 verses we just read up there, Paul described that one event of Israel is left. That's that one remaining event would be after Israel's fall and before Israel was snared and cast away. Romans 11:11. I say then, have they stumbled that they should fall? God forbid. but rather that through their fall, salvation has come unto the Gentiles, for to provoke them to jealousy. Verse 12. Now if the fall of them be the riches of the world, and the diminishing of them the riches of the Gentiles, how much more their fullness? Verse 13. For I speak to you Gentiles, inasmuch as I am the apostle of the Gentiles, I magnify mine office. Verse 14. If by any means I may provoke to emulation them which are my flesh, and save some of them. He was a Jew too. Verse 15. For if the casting away of them be the reconciling of the world, what shall the receiving of them be but life from the dead? Especially there in Romans 11, verse 12, it describes the word broken as referring to Israel's gradual diminishing. The point is that Israel's events were prophesied at least twice in the Old Testament, the prophetic Old Testament writings there. The Bible prophesied Israel's stumbling, fall, being broken, diminished, snared, taken. So, let me just get a sip here. In the remainder of the passage, we can see what happened to Israel, and it was prophesied. Verse 13, Isaiah 28:13, we read multiple times, but going on to 14. Wherefore, hear the word of the Lord, you scornful men that rule this people which is in Jerusalem. In other words, the hierarchy that was opposing God. Verse 15, because you have said, we have made a covenant with death and with hell, and we are at agreement. When the overflowing scourge shall pass through, it shall not come unto us. For we have made lies our refuge, and under falsehood have we hid ourselves. Isaiah 28:16. Therefore thus saith the Lord God, behold, I lay in Zion for a foundation a stone, a tried stone, a precious cornerstone, a sure foundation. He that believeth shall not make haste. And verse 17, judgment also will I lay to the line, and righteousness to the plummet, and the hail shall sweep away the refuge of lies, and the waters shall overflow the hiding place. And doesn't he mention it shall be with a flood or end with a flood in Revelation, in one of the later writings? Isaiah 28:18, and your covenant with death shall be disannulled, and your agreement with hell shall not stand when the overflowing scourge shall pass through, and you shall be trodden down by it. Isaiah 28 prophesies Israel's history following its fall in Acts 7 through the centuries of being forsaken and trodden down. And it hasn't changed, and it won't change until the fullness of the Gentiles become in and God starts the prophecy clock ticking again that Daniel started with 70 years, ending in the 69th year, with 1 year left to go, and one week of years. So it'd be 7 years to go, not 1 year. And almost immediately after Israel's fall, Christ revealed his secret mystery of Christ pattern, he first saved unforgivable sinner Saul of Tarsus into the body of Christ, starting the dispensation of the gospel of Christ within the body of Christ. And that's all I've got so far on studying the acceptable year of the Lord.